Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. Today we'll be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Before that, let us pray. Father in heaven, please shine your light on your holy word that we might understand your gospel and walk in its light and its truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at the passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. So Paul's coming in pretty strongly here. He's saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, because you're a new person. You have died and your life is hidden in Christ with God. That's in Colossians 3, verse 3, just a little bit up the page. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are dead to sin. You are dead to the old life. When you got saved, you said, no, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I have put aside those things of gambling and adultery and drugs and wild parties. You've put all that aside. You're not going back to it anymore because God has made you a new person and you have been raised with Christ and you are now seated in the heavenly realms and you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You need to get your identity worked out. You are not the old person that you used to be. You're a new person. You're a Christian. You're a spiritual person. And your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a sacred site, indwelt by the Holy Ghost. And your body will be resurrected from the dead. It is going to be glorious. It's going to be spiritual. It should not participate in any sexual immorality. A Christian should not have sex with prostitutes. A Christian should not have sex before marriage. A Christian should be holy and pure in their lifestyle and certainly not go off the rails into adultery or any other kind of sexual impurity. And Paul is very, very firm about this. And he says, if you get into these things, it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. God's wrath, God's anger, comes on people who live disobedient lifestyles. And that's very clear in Romans and Ephesians and many other places in the Bible. It's even clear that some Christians are punished by God, just like Ananias and Sapphira were, and some of the people in Revelation who went after false prophets like the woman Jezebel in the church back then. And he says, I will slay their children. God is stern. God is very much a disciplinarian. And when the Corinthians were getting drunk at communion and pushing each other out of the way and behaving in unholy and divisive manners, he says, this is why some of you sleep. And the sleep there means have been killed by God, have been disciplined in this life, and their bodies have been killed by God. And so illnesses and death come upon Christians who participate in sin. When I was in Papua New Guinea in 1986, I was preaching in a very remote part of that very remote nation, and I came across a village where a certain cult had been through, and they'd given outboard motors to Christians that left Christianity and joined the cult. And 13 people had left Christianity and joined this particular cult group and received outboard motors as a result. Now, the next day after they received their outboard motors, they dropped dead. God slew them on the spot. And I came in a week later and talked to them about what was wrong with the cult, and everybody listened to me. You see, even today, God punishes those who get out of line. And you are not to get out of line as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to fear the Lord. You are to walk holy with him in fear and trembling. You are to respect the rules of God and the rules of the spiritual life. and you are to put off sin from your life. You are to consider yourself dead to sin and make a clean break with all that is sinful, all that is lustful, all that is impure, all that is unclean. Let's look at some of the things that Paul says we're to get rid of. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So these words here, immorality, impurity, passion, and evil desire, they describe our body lusting after something, craving after it, jumping into bed with it, so that we are committing immorality or committing adultery or committing this and that, and our whole body is craving after this sin, just as an alcoholic craves after alcohol. And so the old nature is craving after sin. It wants to go and do those things that it did before. And the addiction to sin rises up in the disobedient person. And we as Christians are dead to that. We are no longer addicted to sin. We are no longer giving in to the cravings of the flesh. We are no longer full of sweaty lust after the things that are forbidden by God. We have to say, no, I am not doing that anymore. I am dead to that, and I disregard those desires. They may rise up from time to time. When they do, you say, no, I am disregarding you. I am not giving in to this temptation. I am not in any way participating in immorality, impurity, passion, or evil desire. You are to be a pure and holy believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Here in America, there's a lot of greed. All around the world, there's a lot of greed. People love money. People love the material things of this life. And they pursue these things and they throw God away. They say, oh, well, I've got to have prosperity in this life. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. I've got to have a nice house and a nice car and a big promotion. And they get greedier and greedier. And gradually they become cold people. They don't love their family anymore because they just love money. And they want more and more money. And money dictates everything they do. And they fight with their family. They fight with their relatives. They fight with everyone else about every little cent. Because their God is not the God of heaven. It's the God of this world and the God of mammon. And Jesus says you cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't do that because you will honor one and despise the other. Let's have a look at that in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, it says here, do not, Matthew 6, verse 19 to 24. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, as in covetousness and wicked, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is the old Hebrew word for money or the spirit of money. You cannot serve God and mammon. And in Ephesians, it also says that greed and covetousness is idolatry. Always hankering after money, always hankering after having the nicest thing and the shiniest thing, and being unable to feel happy if you don't have money, and being unable to feel happy unless you have the newest, shiniest thing. You need to be content in your heart in whatever circumstances you're in, because you have Christ, because you have salvation, because you have the love of God. And if you cannot be content unless you are rich, then you are not worshipping God, you are worshipping money. But if you can be content just as you are because you have the riches of Christ, then you are worshipping Christ because you have salvation and you have truth and you have joy and you have the mercy of God and you have the grace of God and you can rejoice in the Lord always. So if you require money to be happy, Then turn around and ask a few questions. Why is this the case? Why aren't you happy with your family? Why aren't you happy with God? Why aren't you happy with this, that, or the other? Now, I understand that we go through tough financial circumstances from time to time. But let's just assume that you're not in a tough financial circumstance, that you're not actually in need of having to pay the rent right now. In the normal circumstances of life, do you need money to be happy, even if the bills are being paid? Even if the bills are being paid, do you still want more and want more and want more in order to be happy? Because that's a point where you're actually an idolater. You're actually deep in greed. You're deeply looking after the love of money to be the satisfaction in your life. And you must get rid of that, because on account of that, the wrath of God will become upon you. You cannot serve God and mammon, and God will judge those whose only love in life is the love of money. So it says, for it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. God is very, very patient. His patience is called macrothumia. It means he takes a long, long, long while to get angry. But one day, Jesus will appear in the sky, and he will come with thousands and thousands of his holy ones, and he will destroy every disobedient thing on the planet of the earth, and he will destroy all that offends, and his holy angels will sort out the righteous from the wicked, and the wrath of God will come upon this earth. That will happen. It will happen in this day and this time when the end of this age comes, and it's not far away. But even before Jesus returns, we know that the wrath of God comes upon people just as it came upon Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit and were struck dead. So we know that the wrath of God still exists these days, and we have to be very, very careful about what we do and what we say, and how we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 7, and in them, all these sins, you also once walked when you were living in them. Back in the old days, when you were a sinner, you lived in these sins. That was the way of life in the old way. But no more. As a Christian, you cannot go back to idols. You cannot go back to magic. You cannot go back to sexual immorality. You are done with that. That's not your lifestyle anymore. But now, he says in verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. You see, our old nature talks. Our old nature speaks. And when the old nature speaks, it's anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. We cannot let our old nature take control of our tongue, for death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our tongue can be a sharp sword. It can be like a knife. It can be like a burning fire. Our tongue can destroy lives all around us by spreading gossip, rumors, and slander. And we have to take control of the tongue, and we have to speak from the new nature that is love and that is peace and that is joy and is encouragement. And we have to speak out of the new nature and not out of the old nature, which is full of these abusive ways and practices. And so anger, wrath, malice, and slander, these are things where our hateful heart speaks against other people, sometimes because we're irritated, sometimes because we're frustrated and tired. But the sinner, the person who is in the state of disobedience, is continually angry, continually slandering others, continually full of malice and grumpiness and hatred. And we are not to be like that as believers. We're to move towards the positive. We're to put on the new nature, which we will see in the next episode of Insights for Eternity. We're to put on the new nature and not the old nature. So we must be done with the old way of living. We must be busted and disgusted and say that you hate sin and that you're not going back to sin, and that sin has no more place in your personality, in your life, or in your spirit. You see, sometimes we let sin back in. We say, oh, that's just me. That's just who I am. You know, I'm this, I'm that, or the other. And instead, you should say, no, I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that person who gets angry anymore. Instead, I'm someone who is full of the grace of God. and you have to continually return to your identity in Christ. I am not that, I am this. I am not full of sin, I am full of the grace of God. I am not the old nature, I am the new nature. And so in verse 10 it says, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You see, we're to put on a new self. That new self is actually who we are, the person that has died and is seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Your new identity is invisible to you. We talked about it last time, and I'll talk about it again. You need to get a new idea of your new self. You need to understand that you are not a sinful person. You are a person who is perfect, who occasionally sins. You are not a sinful person. You are a person who is perfect, who occasionally sins. A person before Christ is a sinful person. The main core of their nature is sinful. It's apart from God. It is under the wrath of God. So before Christ, yes, you're a sinful person. And even if you occasionally do a good deed, you're still a sinful person because sin is the driving dynamic of the person who is before Christ. You have not repented. You're still denying God, denying Christ, doing this, doing that, living your own way. But when you come to Christ, Christ finishes that off. He kills that old nature. So sin is no longer the driving principle in your life. Instead, righteousness becomes the driving principle in your life. You want to be righteous. You dwell in righteousness. You aim at righteousness. You want to live a holy life full of love, joy, and peace. That's the general direction of your life. Just as sometimes you did good deeds when you were a sinner, so when you're saved, occasionally you do bad deeds, but most of the time you do good deeds. The driving principle of the saved person's life is the Holy Ghost, is Christ Jesus, and so the new being you have is actually perfect, and you'll find that out when you're raised from the dead. You'll find out that your new being, your core person, is a perfect person. But that perfect person has to be manifested. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to get that new nature activated, and we'll see that in the next broadcast. So you are not a sinner at the core. That core sinful nature was broken and dealt with when you were born again. And so you can say you're dead to sin now. You're not going to do it. You're going to be finished with it. You can consider the members of your body dead. Now, your spirit's already dead to sin, but the members of your body still have traces in them. You still have the desires in your flesh. And you're to discipline the members of your body and say, no, 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 no. You now have to obey righteousness. You now have to obey truth. You now have to obey love. You can't let the sin traces in your members, what the Bible calls sin in the flesh, to take you over, because you have the Holy Spirit deep down in your spirit, and that's just the way it's got to be. So you have to live in righteousness now, and you cannot let wickedness take you over. So you've got to put them all aside. Verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, put anger aside, put wrath aside. In other words, you're throwing these old garments off. Just as once you were clothed in anger and wrath and all these things, you say, no. And you throw away your anger, you throw away your wrath, you throw it aside, and you put it all aside, and you make a clean break with it. And you might have to keep on making that clean break, because anger might be part of the habit of your life. Slander and gossip might be part of the habit of your life, and you have to say, no, I'm getting rid of that. That's no longer part. Abusive speech and belittling people and hurting people. You have to say, no, that's not me anymore. I'm getting that out of my life, and I'm not doing that anymore. So you're not to speak evil of others. You're not to abuse others. You're not to put other people down. You're not even to think about doing it, because you're putting these things aside. They are not part of you anymore. And the sins of your tongue are important. It says here, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its practices. You've put aside the old self, you've put it away, and all the practices, and lying is one of them. And lying means lying as a habit, being a deceiver, being a fraud, putting on a mask, living a life where you don't tell the truth to anybody. We're not talking about the occasional little fib to get out of a social engagement that you don't want to go to. If you can find an honest way of doing that, then go ahead and do that. We're talking about lying as a way of being. And the word here in the Greek is pseudesthēia, which is a continuous participle. It means it's going on and on and on. This person's always lying. You can never get a straight answer out of them. And the people who are like this are those salesmen and people like that are always conning people and telling lies to people, and politicians that are always lying to people, and actors and fake people that are always putting on a mask and putting on an impression and being cool and never showing their true selves. Everything about them is a lie. And these liars end up in the lake of fire. It says that at the end of the book of Revelation. People that are fake, people that are false, people that are con artists, people that are always creating impressions on social media, people whose whole life is a lie and a fake, those people end up in the lake of fire. And so we are not to be liars. We're to be people of the truth. We're to be people of the light. We're to be people who are honest with one another and whose word can be relied on. So your tongue is to be an honest tongue, a straightforward tongue, tongue like the tongue of Jesus or the tongue of Paul. And occasionally you might speak truth and speak it very strongly and very powerfully. And people say, oh, that's a bit tough, Pastor. Why did you say that? But it is better to abide in the truth than to abide in falsehood and people-pleasing. You are not here to be a people-pleaser and a liar and an actor, someone whose tongue is always used to create impressions. No, you're not to be like that. You're to be a person of truth, a person of integrity, a person of very great straightforwardness. So we are not going to go back to those old ways of living. You're not going to go back to drugs. You're not going to go back to witchcraft. You're not going to go back to pornography. You're not going to go back to immorality. You're not going to go back to your old girlfriend or boyfriend. You're not to step out of your marriage in any way, shape, or form. You're not to have any wrong affections with people that you once knew in the past. You're not to go back to the drinking and to the bars and to the criminal associates. You are not going to go back to a life of bitterness and rage. You're not going to go back to a life where you wake up every morning thinking about who you can take revenge on. You're not going to go back to a life where you wake up every day depressed and angry with the world. Instead, you're going to praise the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. You're going to put on a new nature, and you're going to put off everything that's of the past. The past is the past. You made a clean break with it. Behold, all things are new. Old things have passed away. You're a new creation, and you cannot go back into the old creation. It is forbidden for you now. You cannot go back to the things that gave you pleasure as a sinner, to gambling, to wasting your time, to thieving, to lying, to all those things. The things that gave you pleasure as a sinner, they are now done with, and you cannot let the members of your body go back to them. You must make a firm break with the old past, a firm break with what your tongue used to say and what your body used to do. You're no longer like that person. Your tongue will be holy to God and give praises to the Lord. Your body will be holy to God and sanctified and set apart for His purposes at all times, and your marriage will be held holy to the Lord. And so the members of your body will be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that is God's reasonable service for you, that you live and walk and talk as a living sacrifice, laying down all the old ways, taking up your cross and following Jesus Christ. For you have died, and your life is now hidden in Christ with God. And that you are now a heavenly being, living in the heavenly realms, filled with the Holy Ghost to live a heavenly life. So all that junk, it's inappropriate. And you're not going to go back to that stuff that's inappropriate. Instead, you're going to cry out to God for deliverance from the things that try and lay hold of you from time to time. Have two or three confidential friends that you can talk to about this. If you've got a strong temptation to gossip about people, talk to your friends and say, keep me accountable. If you've got a strong temptation to look at rubbish on the internet that's pornographic or something, talk to your friends about it and don't do it, or put a filter on your computer. Don't go back to the old way. It no longer belongs to you. You are not a sinner anymore, you're a saint. You have been saved by grace through faith. You dwell in heavenly realms. Sin is an accidental part of you that you can put off and that you can get rid of. It is not core to your being anymore. So put sin away right now and have nothing more to do with it. Because sin is not your nature anymore. It's completely inappropriate for the saints of God. And I know this sounds tough. I know this sounds hard. But the good news is that you have a new nature, which is made in Christ for eternal purposes. And in the next broadcast, we're going to look at that. So be encouraged. It's not all bad news. You're told to put off the bad things, not because God wants to ruin your life, but because he's got something much more special for you. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off. God bless you all.